Mention a real pleasure to meet everybody, and I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to get to know everyone a little bit better over the course of the week. I thought that this evening, something that I was trying to think about for myself, actually we just spent Shabbos in Denver. It was a very beautiful Shabbos. I had the opportunity to speak in the shul there on the east side of Denver, and then we came here today, and that's a beautiful community. This community in Montana is also very, very beautiful, very unusual that we have the opportunity as people who certainly are not natives of Montana to be out here together. And what I wanted to do was to think a little bit about what should be the frame of all that we're going to do this week. What I mean by that is as follows. Jews never do anything just stam kacha. We don't do things like that. Jews do everything in a very deliberate fashion. We do things because there's a purpose. Everything we do is purposeful. Or at least it's supposed to be. So coming here to Montana on vacation is very nice, but obviously there needs to be a purpose of why it is that we're here. You know, we met this evening the Shliach of Kalispell, Montana. I had the opportunity to speak with him. I hope everybody took advantage of the opportunity, and it's just so amazing to me. I actually told him on Tuesday evening he's making a upsharing for his child. I said, I for one am going to crash. I don't know about anybody else, but I said the truth is, I think all of us should really make an effort. Here he is, living his life out here. I asked him, how many Jewish people are there in this entire county? And he said, 300. So I asked him, where do your children go to school? He said, well, we wake them up early in the morning so that we can daven with them. We send them to a Montessori school from 9 to 12. And then after, we just do homeschooling and we try to teach them and we supplement as much as we can. Here you have people who live life with purpose, who live life with mission, who understand there's a reason why they're here, and there's a very good reason that they park themselves in this community because they feel and they understand that there's what for them to do. So I was trying to formulate for myself, and this is really just my own musings, of trying to understand what it is that I'm doing here this week. What is the purpose? What is the vision of what I hope that I will be able to get out of this beautiful week, aside from the fact that I have the opportunity to be with my family and that all of my wonderful mispalalim from my shul in Woodmere in the Five Towns cannot get in touch with me because the phones just simply don't work here. So although it's a wonderful family time and it's really nice to be here together with them and with all of you, but on top of that, obviously there needs to be something more. So what I'd like to begin with is a comment of the brother of the Maharal. The brother of the Maharal wrote a sefer that's called the Sefer HaChaim. The Maharal actually had, this was an older brother of his. Maharal was the younger brother. His name was Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim lived in the 1500s. And Reb Chaim quotes a medrash that Rashi on Chumash actually quotes in Parshas Lech Lecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha el ha'aretz asher arecha. He wants him to travel, to go far away from where he was accustomed to being. And the truth is, that's what I feel right now. Lech Lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha. We are very far away from where we grew up, from where we currently live, from the kind of lifestyle that we're used to. But what's the purpose? What's the vision? So Rashi quotes a fascinating comment from the Medrash on Chumash. Rashi writes there that generally when a person goes on a trip and ventures out from their home, from the place where they're most comfortable, so Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, Va'agad l'shemecha, you have nothing to worry about. I will make sure that you will be prominent. I'll make sure that you'll be prominent. Why? Rashi says, because usually it's to be understood that when somebody separates from the natural habitat of where they're used to being comfortable, their reputation is a little bit diminished. And they are not going to be the same as they generally are. You know, maybe you get a lot of respect in the community that you're in because you're a doctor and your patients are there, or because you have some kind of communal position and people respect what it is that you represent. You go far away, nobody cares who you are, nobody knows who you are, nobody's asking anything, nobody's giving you any respect, they're just treating you like everybody else. And there's something beautiful about that, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, don't worry. Va'agad l'shemecha, you'll be okay. I'll make sure that your prominent stance of where you're supposed to be in the community remains, even though you're going to leave from the natural habitat of where you are. Okay, now ask the brother of the Maharal. Sounds like a very nice medrash, and Rashi is one that perhaps some of us have seen before. But the brother of Maharal asks, let's think about it. This is Avraham Avinu we're talking about. Avraham Avinu didn't care to keep a low posture. Avraham Avinu wasn't looking for a leadership position. He was thrust into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically forced him into it. Avraham Avinu was not a person who cared so much to live a life of anonymity. He was totally fine doing that. And on top of that, so you think that Avraham Avinu's first concern is, you know, God tells me, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha, I want you to go away. His first concern is, you know, what am I going to do about my celebrity status? What's going to be about the fact that all my notoriety, all my acclaim, everything I've built in my life is just going to go out the window because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me to leave it behind? Is that really the first thing that came to his mind? And let's take one step further. What exactly happened to Avraham Avinu in his birthplace? They weren't actually that favorable to him. So, we're familiar with the Medrash that Avraham Avinu was thrown into a Kivshan Ha'esh. You know, sometimes there are members of the community that you may not see eye to eye with, and you may not agree with, and you may not appreciate. You would never go that far to do what Avraham Avinu's hometown did to him, let alone when his father was still alive. And yet, his whole family's watching this, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's worried, you know, Avraham, you were so much appreciated where you were, but don't worry, V'agad l'shemecha, when you leave, you'll be okay. He was not okay in the place where he came from. So what does this mean? Those are the two questions of the brother of the Maharal. And he answers, I'm sure he was a great man on his own right. I always feel bad calling people the brother of the Maharal. I don't know anything about him, but I'm sure he was a wonderful tzaddik on his own. But that's how he goes down in history. I can say, I'm very proud to be known as the son of Rav Shechter. I have nothing to say on my own. I am very proud that everybody refers to me as the son of Rav Shechter, and I have no qualms about it at all. Somebody once asked me, you know, doesn't it feel strange to live your whole life in your father's shadow? And I said, the truth is, I once read an article by Rabbi Joel Schoenfeld from Queens. Rabbi Joel Schoenfeld ran the shul in Queens under his father, Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, who was a legend. And he was once asked, what does it feel like to live in your father's shadow? You're already like 60 years old. It's time to, you know, grow up a little bit and move out of your father's shadow. He said, I don't see it that way. I see it that I live in my father's light. And that's the way I see it. Once I saw what he wrote, I really felt that it was able to frame everything about what I feel as well, but that's totally nothing to do with our shir. But Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maharal, deserves to be recognized on his own right. And he explains as follows, where he says, what does it mean that when a person leaves the place where they are, that it's memayit es Hashem? So we generally understand it to mean that my prominent stance, my name, becomes diminished, becomes reduced, because I'm no longer around people that I'm familiar with. Says the brother of the Maharal, of course, that's the simple understanding, but there's something more to it. Where he writes, sometimes when people travel, the shame, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they represent, the godliness in their lives that they are supposed to always be having as the most prominent part of their lives, is something that is diminished. Because they don't live up to the same standard of spiritual life that they otherwise would have held when they were home. And therefore writes the brother of the Maharal, that was Avraham Avinu's concern. He was not worried about living an anonymous life and being his own person and being out in the wilderness. If that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to do, he's fine with it. His only concern was, what's going to be with my spirituality? Now that I'm leaving the epicenter of spirituality, this is where I feel most comfortable with the Ribono Shel Olam. I've already figured out the kosher supermarkets. I figured out where to dine with a minion, where to have a shul, who I'm going to interact with, which yerim I'm going to give, who I'm going to teach, what I'm going to do on a daily basis to make my spiritual life full. Now that I'm going to be traveling and on the road, what's that going to look like? To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Ba'agam l'shemecha. Don't worry. I will make sure that the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you represent will not be diminished even when you're on the road. And it's a tremendous challenge, and it's something that we need to be vigilant of, and it's something that is not so simple. So there are many people who travel. And we know in Shulchan Aruch there are actually a number of examples where we find that people who are baba derech, people who are on the road, for whatever reason, either because they just happen to be on a business trip or for whatever reason, there are certain regulations that we normally follow that are lifted, that we don't follow as stringently as we otherwise would. In Yoredeya we find that as well. I just got a question from someone who is traveling in Washington, Seattle, Washington. And this woman wrote to me and she wants to know, what do I do about the Keurig machine in my room? And am I allowed to use a kettle in a hotel? Can I use anything? What can I use? And hard-boiled eggs? All these kinds of questions that come up. And sometimes there are leniencies because Misha Baba Derek, somebody who's traveling and not in their natural place, obviously needs to figure out how to deal with the circumstances that they're in. However, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was, you have nothing to be concerned about. And that's what I feel most grateful and appreciative of the group that we have here together, is that we have the opportunity to travel, to see something spectacular, but to do it without lowering our standards of spirituality at all. And I think that's something to be extremely grateful for. We've come together. We have a minyan where we can daven together. We have a Sefer Torah that will guide us. We have the opportunity to learn together every night. We have the opportunity to eat kosher food without breaking the standards at all. We have a mashgiach who's here on the premises where we feel totally confident in everything that he's providing us with. And it's just a pleasure to be in such an atmosphere. I can say, you know, we've all been many places. I'm curious, is there anybody who's ever been on a program where the leader of the program gets up the first evening and says, you know, here are the rules, here's what you need to do, you have to be on time, but I'm just telling you, you make a chilul Hashem, full refund and you go home. It's amazing. I would say you make a chilul Hashem, no refund and go home. But no, he says, full refund. Why? Because it shows a sense of Yirah Shamayim, a person who really cares that there should be a certain standard that is upheld while we are here, while we are traveling, and while we are vacationing. And I felt that that is really something that gives us the opportunity to be here, especially sometimes when we're in our natural habitat, so we are not as relaxed, and we're not as carefree, and we're not as flexible because we're running to work, we have meetings, we have things that we need to do, we have a time schedule, we have to make it to NYU perhaps, right, for our position, which I want to hear a lot about. I'm very excited about that. Maybe one evening you'll something. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but I know you're here on vacation, but does everybody know we have a major historian here with us? This is very exciting. Who knows the history of halacha? So maybe we can do a joint shir. How's that? Something. Okay, anyway. What? Help us out here a little bit. You're sitting here so quietly. What do you mean? I have nothing to say. Tell us a little bit about the brother of the Maharal. Right.
Published until after, because we get a lot of information from their, from the reaction to Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Ashkenazic adaptation of Shulchan Aruch, and we get a lot from there of how in Ashkenaz they used to learn halakha before.
Mm-hmm. Before the Shulchan Aruch, right?
Sources of, because a lot of it was orally, and the way people learn the practices in yeshiva, how things were taught, are not completely in depth. So he's one of the major sources for how.
So I guess I should say that for one who knows history and really appreciates and understands the history of halacha, he is not the brother of the Maharal. He is extremely significant on his own. So maybe you'll talk a lot more. We'll have an opportunity. We should get to know each other. And it's really a pleasure, as I said. But I was thinking, now that we're relaxed, and now that we don't have as rigid of a schedule as maybe we do have, but maybe it's an opportunity for us. When was the last time you came to shul and you davened from the beginning till the end? And the chazan, we had an amazing chazan, Mincha and Maariv. You have a chazan who actually says the words and gives us a chance as the tzibur to say the words as well. What an amazing phenomenon. So you daven in Adas, they say all the words every day slowly, but you know, some of us daven in shuls where they may not be as careful to say every single word and give everyone an opportunity. And maybe this is an opportunity for us. And it's an aspiration that I have, where we are not going to limit the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this trip, but we're going to have the opportunity to have Va'agad L'Shemecha, V'yinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. I hope that it will be the opportunity for all of us to have that chance to be Megadol the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Magen Avraham has a fascinating comment. Magen Avraham, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, writes that a person who goes away, when making the arrangements for that trip, they need to make sure to bring along their rooster. What do you need a rooster for? Says the Magen Avraham. What are you going to do about Zman Kriya Shema? How are you going to make sure? If I'm not mistaken, I think he says, what are you going to do about Chatzos? Like, I think he's referring to Tikkun Chatzos. I'm not sure exactly. But the Magen Avraham writes, this is something we need to keep in mind, that Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity here. Kasher Yachanu Kein Yiso. The same way that we encamp together, and we live together as a Jewish community, and we follow halacha, and we do everything the way we're supposed to, can you so? This is the way that we travel as well. And to me, this is a tremendous gift. So I was thinking, where in Tanakh do we find something about mountains? Where do we find that mountains are significant? Now, obviously, there are many, many mountains that are significant. Har Moriah and Har Abayis, which are the same, but also Har Sinai. There's a lot to talk about in that regard. Maybe that will be another discussion, but we're going to the mountainous area here, and we're going to be hiking, and we're going to be traveling, but thinking about the significance of mountains, I couldn't think past the point of Malachim Aleph, where you have the story of what? Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. The story of Eliyahu is a very significant story, and for those who may not be familiar, at one point Eliyahu is confronted with Ahav and with many of the Nevi'ei Habal, and he has almost a face-off, and he doesn't know what to do. All of them are serving Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu HaNavi is trying to convince the Jewish people that this is wrong, and you have to realign your priorities, you have to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, no cutting corners, no making new religions. And at the time, Eliyahu HaNavi decides to go to a location by himself. So the beginning of the pasuk says, Vayale Achav Lecho Velishtos. Achav and all of his followers go to have, eat, drink, and be merry. They're going to have their good time. Eliyahu at the same time says, I need to counter that. Eliyahu goes up, Eliyahu ala Rosh HaKarmel, Vayasem Panav Bein Birkav. And Eliyahu puts his face between his knees, and he begins to daven. He begins to pray, as he sees what's going on the other side. And he realizes this is a major crisis. This is a critical moment in Jewish history. So he goes up to his mountain. They go to do their thing. And the Mefarshim there on Tanakh, I looked it up last night, they ask, why did Eliyahu go to a mountain? There were no shuls in the area? He couldn't daven where he was? Obviously he needs to offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything should go well, that he should be successful in his mission. But why do you have to go up to a mountain? It's very difficult to get up the mountain. Why does he choose to go up on Har HaKarmel? Explains the Ralbag there in his commentary on Melachim Aleph. Maybe the reason why he says, I'll read his words, is Ulai Haya Avir HaMakom Ahu Yoter Zach. Maybe he was able to have a clear mind when he went up on top of the mountain. Why? Because the air is clear. Ubazei Tachin Shetia Tfilaso Nishmas Me'amakom Ahu. How amazing is that? So when we think of going up on a mountain, you think about all kinds of different things and what kind of views you're going to get, what kind of pictures you're going to have, what kind of memories are going to be there for you and your children and your family, and what are you going to send then in the WhatsApp groups, what are we going to send back to everybody? The best shot. Think about the fact, Eliyahu goes up on Har HaKarmel. Why? Because it's Yoter Zach. Because you have the ability to clear your head a little bit. Because you have the ability to focus. And maybe, just maybe, says the Ralbag, maybe Tfilaso Nishmas Me'amakom Ahu, I'm sure Eliyahu HaNavi's Tfila was going to be answered wherever it would have been offered. But the fact that he chose to go up on top of the mountain is because he understood that on top of a mountain, a person does have the ability to think differently, to act differently, and to offer a tefillah differently. Maybe when you're there tomorrow, take the opportunity, just a few moments, to offer a tefillah that maybe you weren't going to offer. Who would have thought to offer a tefillah on top of a mountain? But think about one of the greats of our people, Eliyahu HaNavi Zachar Latov, that's what he chose to do. As pure as he was, he understood that there's even greater purity that one can acquire when they go up on top of a mountain. Yeshaya HaNavi, we just read the beautiful words of Yeshaya HaNavi in the Haftarah to Parshas Va'eschana, which was the Parsha that we always read immediately following Tisha B'Av. The reason why we read it after Tisha B'Av, I believe, is because we say in Eicha, Gam ki ezak va'ashavea sasam tfilasi, that there's almost a barrier that is created between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi says, even when we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel almost as if sasam tfilasi, like he's just put a brick wall between us and him, and he's not answering our prayer. And then after Tisha B'Av is experienced, the first emotion that we have is Va'eschanan al Hashem, that we have the opportunity to realize Moshe Rabbeinu offered a tefillah, but tefillahs can still be answered. And even though we're in Galus, and there's some kind of connection there between our tefillah that we offer and the commemoration of Tisha B'Av and all that that's about. So Yeshaya HaNavi in the Haftarah of Shabbos Nachamu writes, Su'u marom einechem uru'u mi bara eilet. What does he say? Just open your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I told my children today as we were driving here, we didn't see the mountains yet. I know you had a 5-hour drive today, but some of us didn't. So we didn't see the mountains right when we got out of the airport. I said, just look at the purity of the sky. You know, I live in New York. You live in New York. You live in New Jersey. You live in Englewood, also New Jersey. LA maybe is a little more pure, I don't know. But we don't see skies like this. Then Yeshaya HaNavi tells us, just look up at the sky and ask yourself, who could have possibly created this? And then he writes, Yeshaya HaNavi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name for every star. You're going to look up in the middle of the night at the purity of the sky and you'll be able to see stars. You can't see such things in the communities which we live. Realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of this. Uru'umi bara ela. The Sfasemes writes in Sefer Shemos, I don't remember which parsha it is, but he says, every day when Merkabal Omalcha Shemayim, we begin by saying the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he writes that he had in mind, in the word Shema, is Shin Mem Ayin, Se'um Arom Enechem. Part of Kabbalah's Omalcha Shemayim is look around the world and realize, this is why we're Merkabal Omalcha Shemayim, because we realize the majesty, the grandeur, of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into our world, and this should fascinate all of us. In fact, the Shem Yishmuel, which is a beautiful sefer on Chumash, quotes a story that he writes between a conversation between the Kutzke Rebbe and his Rebbe, who was? What? Not the Avnei Nezer. No, the Avnei Nezer was the father of the Shem Yishmuel. Avnei Nezer was the undisputed Gadol Hador in Europe pre-Holocaust. The Shem Yishmuel was his son. If I'm not mistaken, I think he passed away in 1926. Is that past your... I don't know. I think he passed away in 1926, the Shem Yishmuel. If I'm not mistaken, he did not survive the war for sure. But the Shem Yishmuel was the son of the Avnei Nezer. He quotes a story from the Kutzke Rebbe and his Rebbe, Rabbuna Mipshischa. And he writes that once Rabbuna Mipshischa wanted to see how well his Talmud is doing. So he turns to the Kutzke Rebbe. You know, the Kutzke Rebbe has become a household name in all of our communities. But the Kutzke at one time in his life was not the Kutzke. He was just the Talmud in Yeshiva. And his Rebbe, Rabbuna Mipshischa, turns to him and he says, Nu, you know that every person in life should really be defined by a certain pasuk in Tanakh. A person should feel that that really describes what it is that they represent, what their aspirations are in spiritual life. So he says, you know, my dear student, the Kutzker, he asks him, what is that pasuk that comes to mind? What do you think really defines your essence? What do you think really is something you aspire to be just thinking about all the time and your spiritual aspirations in general? And the Kutzker turned to him and he said, you know, I think the greatest pasuk that resonates with me is Se'um Arom Einechem U'umi Bara Eila. I look around the world and I'm just fascinated by all that goes on. And I realize the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just by seeing everything out there. And the Rebbe, Rabbunim, said to him, that's a beautiful idea. But he said, that was only before Kabbalah Satorah. After Kabbalah Satorah, the greatest pasuk to you should be Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Once the Torah was given, you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. So, who are we to get involved in a dispute between two of these major luminaries? And I would say, let's try to accept both opinions. Let's be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim by learning Torah together, and also by accepting the opinion of the Kutzker, which is, Se'um Arom Inechem Uru'umi Bara Eile. And as we see all of this, it brings us to an understanding of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It brings us to an understanding of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us in our lives, how close we feel, how awesome in nature it is to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. I'll close with this because I see most people are already falling asleep. We'll continue tomorrow if you're interested, or we'll talk about something else. But I remember so vividly the feeling I had. Just a couple of months ago, I was so privileged to visit the community in Australia with my wife. And we stayed actually by her cousins, which was an amazing phenomenon. They put us up. We were there for 10 days. We left our five boys at home with my in-laws. It's a long flight. So we flew from New York to LA. What was that? That my in-laws are amazing. Yes, that was amazing. Yes. That my wife and I went away. I said, we just got on the plane. We could have just turned back around. 16 hours on a plane without any noise was something we weren't used to at all. So we went from New York to LA. From there, we flew to Sydney. I spent a day and a half in Sydney. I gave a bunch of shiurim there, spoke to a number of different communities. And then we went to Melbourne for 8 days. It was an absolutely amazing trip. Just eye-opening to see other communities and to see what goes on out there in the world. And just so much to talk about from that, which is a discussion for another time. But on one occasion, they did give us a free afternoon. I think I spoke 30 times in 1 week. It was really just a lot, and I don't regret it at all. I said, once we're coming, let's make the most of it. Let's really try to impact as much as we can. And we went to all the schools, and it was amazing. You go to a school there, it's officially an Orthodox school, 2,000 kids in the school. Almost none of them come from families of Shomrei Shabbos. Amazing. So I got there, I said, what am I supposed to speak to the kids about? They had me on the schedule to speak to one school like this, another school like that in Melbourne. I said, what should I talk to them about? None of them really have a background at all. They said, well, this is what you do. I said, well, I don't normally speak in this kind of setting. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Anyway, I came in. I asked the kids, do you have any questions? They said, yes. What does it mean to be a rabbi? Like, what kind of questions do you answer? What do people ask you? What are you busy with? And I just decided to get into a discussion about some of the recent questions we had been dealing with in the community. They were fascinated by the concept that halacha is what to say on communal matters, on contemporary issues, and it was just such an eye-opening experience. But one afternoon they gave us off, and we went for a 7-hour drive on the Great Ocean Road, and you're looking out at the Indian Ocean, and you're seeing those pictures that sometimes you see on your computer screen when it goes to sleep, and you think those things don't really exist, and I'm like, wow, this is where that picture was taken. Like, this is real. And I'm looking out, and you just see an endless amount of ocean. And you ask yourself, how can you deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who could have possibly created this world? Who could have possibly put us in such a magnificent location? There's no other way to understand it. And that is what the Navi Yeshaya encourages us to think about. Se'u marom einechem uru'umi bara ela. And I hope it will be our opportunity this week to do just that. To look around at all the gifts that we have been privileged to have this week by being here, and to really take advantage and to take it in, and to appreciate what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into our lives. How lucky we are, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that we get to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this level, that we get to really sense the beauty and the majesty of His magnificent world. And it's my hope that we'll have many opportunities over the course of the week to try to grow together, to learn together, to have fun together, and to really take advantage of this most special opportunity that all of us have been given. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening. I hope you have an opportunity to get some sleep. And it's really...